As we transition into a new energy future, many are looking for ways to make their homes energy neutral, even energy positive. Some are even looking for ways to get their homes too close to off the grid. One of the tools being used in these efforts is a return to wood-burning stoves. With that in mind, we want to explore the potential environmental impacts of housing one of these stoves. Good morning, I'm David Fair, and this is Issues of the Environment. It's a regular Wednesday feature during Morning Edition on 89.1 WEMU. Our guest this morning is Kevon Binder, and Kevon is owner of Dr. Flue. It's a chimney services company serving southeast Michigan and northern Ohio. Good morning, and thank you for joining us.
Good morning, David.
Are you seeing more installations of wood-burning stoves these days?
Yes, we are. Since the raising of the fuel prices, the public is looking for that alternative energy, one way to save on their heating costs, and looking for a payback.
Now, is a freestanding stove a better choice than a fireplace in terms of energy efficiency?
Oh, definitely. Your open fireplace, you're looking at anywhere from -10 to +10% efficiency, depending on a lot of factors, flow capacity, any kind of type of heat exchange system, but basically -10 to +10% efficiency, and that even depends on whether or not they have glass doors or a fireback. You have to understand, you're taking air out of the home to combust it in the fireplace, and you're sending that heated air up the chimney. Understand that that air has to be replenished, otherwise the envelope of the house would collapse. So that air is coming in from outside, you're paying to heat that, then you're sending it up the chimney. So what we want to do is either use outside air, rather than using outside air, meaning never using the air from the home, putting it in and using it in the combustion process, and then reventing to the atmosphere.
So how much heat can one stove replace in an average-sized home?
Well, in the past being 20 years ago, we had large heaters. This is how people got themselves into trouble, burning too slow, producing a lot of soot and creosote in the chimney. The old heaters, the dinosaurs as we call them, would be producing anywhere from 40 to 60 grams per hour. These stoves would house over 3 cubic feet of wood at one time. Since the advent of the EPA regulations coming in and mandating lower emissions per hour, now we've got the stringency. We're finding out that the fireboxes need to be smaller, but more efficient. So we're getting the same heat probably somewhere in the 45 to 75,000 BTUs per hour.
So there is less harm, potential harm today to indoor air quality than ever before with one of these stoves.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
How does the cost comparison work out? Is it more expensive to buy and burn wood 6 or 7 months out of the year than it is to purchase gas and electric energy to heat a home?
Yes, the wood is still the cheapest. The joke going around my industry is, what's the best type of firewood to burn? And I always say free wood. But the cost per BTU ends up being just a little bit cheaper with wood versus corn versus pellets versus oil, gas, propane.
This is Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair. Our guest this morning is Kevon Binder, and Kevon is owner of Dr. Flue, a chimney services company that serves this area, southeast Michigan and northern Ohio. Is there a particular kind of wood or a manner of burning the wood that best protects air quality and human health?
Well, don't burn any treated wood. Don't burn cardboard. Don't burn any papers with ink. We just prefer just solid hydrocarbon wood. I'll go out on a limb here. I always tell my customers, they say, what's the best? I only burn seasoned hardwoods. And I go, well, okay. He says, I never burn any of that pine. And I kind of look at the homeowner and I say, well, let me make you lose your trust in me, and I'll tell you pine is fine. And oh no, we would never burn that with all that resin and pitch in there. But pine is fine. It's all about complete combustion. Incomplete combustion produces smoke.
How do we offset the use of these woods with our need to continue the environmental stewardship of our forests?
Well, that's basically what it is. It's stewardship. Every man needs to do his part. Myself, I only cut dead standing timber. I don't cut anything that's fallen for some reasons. If I ever needed good dry wood, especially in this area, the emerald ash borer has taken a lot of the ash trees. There's so much of that wood out there that one could cut for a very long time. There's plenty of dead timber out there already, and there's enough dying every year to support definitely anybody that's willing to go out and do a little bit of work.
Now, you've already touched on it several times. There are some wood-burning stoves that have been in use for decades. It's obviously similar to a furnace in that it needs regular maintenance and then occasional replacements, particularly with new government regulations.
That's correct. The government stepped in the 90s. Since 1992, you have to have an EPA-certified stove, which means it can only emit a certain amount of grams per hour. A catalytic stove has to be held to 4.5 grams per hour, and the non-cat at 7.5, or 5.1. And that in itself means that these stoves have to be tested by the manufacturer at a third party testing laboratory to make sure that they can even be sold in the United States any longer. So anything you buy has to be EPA certified. There's no black market, if you will, bringing stoves in that don't comply.
So if I were to consider a wood-burning stove for my home, what are the series of questions I should ask myself as I prepare to contact someone like you?
Well, we do a lot of that for the homeowner. I've been burning wood now for 27 years. My hobby is splitting wood, chopping wood. I grew up watching the snowflakes come down off a security light, sweating at night like a crazy young lad, and splitting by hand. But what I look for is sizing the unit to the home. I look at cost, I look at efficiency, and I look at the best possible installation area or scenario or appliance, whether it be an add-on furnace, whether it be a freestanding stove or a fireplace insert. So it's matching the usage that you anticipate, and it can be done very quickly by asking the homeowner, what do they expect, what do they want, what do they want to see.
Are there homes that you would even say, you know, this is probably not best for you?
Absolutely. Number one, if it's not cannot be put in according to fire code, you've called the wrong company. We can't do these things. Our liability is very high. Let's face it, we allow people to put fire in their own home. Man is in love with the fire, the open fire. He loves the fire much like he likes his automobile. And there's something about the fire that people gaze into intently, do a lot of thinking, and probably do a lot of inventing. But, yeah, there are places where I'll say, no, you cannot do this, or we shouldn't do this, or sometimes we call that a walk, or we'll just have to walk away and shake our head and say, I'm sorry, I can't help you.
So if folks want to get in touch with you, it's drflew.com, correct?
That is correct, father and son.
Thank you so much for your time today. I do appreciate it.
Thank you, David.
That is Kevon Binder. He is owner of Dr. Flew, a chimney services company serving southeast Michigan and northern Ohio. Again, if you'd like more information on the stoves or about the company, Dr. Flew, go to drflew.com. I'm David Fair, and this has been another installment of Issues of the Environment, a cooperative effort of the Washtenaw County Environmental Health Division and the News Department at 89.1 WEMU.